You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama, baby, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Ooh. This the truth like 34. Yeah. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, 17 banners, way up in the rafters, J. King, John Corrales, and Sam Jam Packard. Focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly's, Rainy J's.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. I want to thank you for making us part of your regular routine. We're the Rainy J's with that brand new theme song. Jay, this is your first podcast back. I'm John Corrales, covering the team from SLive. Jay King, the kid from The Athletic here. Jay, your reaction to this new theme song of ours?
I was hyped.
I mean...
So Millie sent it to me at like 3:30 in the morning. So I woke up to it. And it was just a great way to wake up.
Oh my God.
And he killed it. My man, he murdered. He murdered the last couple, but this one is even on another level.
Yeah. That's odd. I mean, I've literally been in the car now 2-3 separate days and playing our theme song over and over again in the car as I'm driving. So It's a lot of fun. Really enjoy that. Today, though, we're going to try to calm down about this awesome theme song and talk about Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward was in Burlington unveiling a court for this family. They're going to do this three times. On Tuesday, it was Gordon Hayward. On Wednesday, it's going to be Brad Wanamaker. Thursday, it's Taco Fall. Families enter, they win a contest, they do this awesome court in their backyard with the Celtics logo on it and a adjustable height backboard and a room inside the house that has a big Celtics thing on it. So that was really cool. But Gordon Hayward was there, and he talked about his recovery. He talked about hanging out with these rookies, talked about a lot of different things. So this entire podcast will be Gordon Hayward related. And let's start, Jay, with the big thing. Obviously, he spent the entire summer in Boston at the practice facility working out. And the thing that he said more often than anything in all of this was confidence. This was a chance to get his confidence back. And I think it's interesting to have him talk about things like that, because obviously last year it was a topic of on this podcast how many different times that his confidence, the lack of confidence, was really holding him back, that he might have been able to be a better player, but for whatever reason, he could just never get that full confidence in his game back.
Yeah, and even toward the end of the year when he got some of the bounce back, when things went wrong, he didn't always maintain his aggression. And I think we saw some of that in the Bucks series when he was pretty silent the whole time. After the Pacers series, when he got going and he really ripped the Pacers apart, especially in the closeout game. So I think this summer's big for him. I think even playing pickup.
Yeah.
Like just playing pickup, and watch out for double teams, Devin Booker. that video bothered me way more than it should have.
We want to just have an aside, have this conversation right now about Devin Booker shaking off the double team or being pissed off about the double team in a pickup game.
That was the perfect video. So for those who haven't watched it, you should probably watch it. It's Devin Booker playing pickup with a bunch of NBA players. And I think it was Tony Snell came over to double team, and Booker was all pissed off because he didn't want the other team to double team during pickup run. And he wanted to be able to go one-on-one and work on expanding his game. Like, come on, man. Come on, man. If you're even in a pickup game, you should be trying to win. And if a team doubles you, like, that's respect, but pass out of it. Go cut. Make a cut. Get a bucket some other way. Don't just bitch and moan about getting double teamed in a pickup game. The best, too, is Joakim Noah, who is on the total other end of the spectrum. Like he would kill a family member to win a pickup game. And he was just disgusted by Booker. He's like, yeah, we are going to double you. That's part of the game, bro. Yep,
that's it. I'm pro Noah on this one. I'm with you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I get it. Like, I get mad sometimes. Like, if you're in a men's league and people are playing a 2-3 zone, like, that's frustrating. Like, come on, guys, let's just play man to man. But I've never seen someone complain about a double team before.
Well, I mean, look, zone in a men's league, like, that's I don't mind that so much. Like, I get it. It's especially at my advanced stage.
As we get older, it becomes more and more.
I'm not trying to check people out on the perimeter very much anymore. Like, just let's play our zone. Like, that's fine. Men's league zones are easy enough to beat. Like, that's not a big deal. But look, Devin Booker is saying, like, oh, I get that shit all season long. Well, you're trying to expand your game. Learn how to get out of that double team. I mean, if they're doubling you, like you said, pass and cut and do whatever. So, like, I think that was weak. I think complaining about a double team was very, very weak on Booker's part. So I'm with you. It was an opportunity for you to vent.
Beautiful. So, yeah, so Gordon Hayward gets to play pickup and expand
his
game. Face
a double team.
And mostly just get his confidence back. I think that's a huge part of it. I think the ankle got better and better as last year went along, but the confidence piece is huge. And being able to feel the leg under him and being able to go and do the things he used to be able to do for a full summer without the pressure of an NBA season is a big deal.
I think you hit on something that's really important when we're talking about confidence, and I don't think it's something that people talk about much. It's not just the ability to go out there and do something and play well. Like, yeah, I have the confidence to go out there and you hit a few shots and your confidence is up. Really, the confidence kicks in when things aren't going well and you still have the confidence to keep playing your game. And that's, I think, the real important thing, because we all know that things don't always go your way in basketball. In even the best players have stretches where it's just not happening. But the best players are the ones that have that 0-for-8 second quarter, but then come back in the second half and drop 20 and shoot well and can come out and be like, you know what? It's going to fall. Some guys have that to an insane degree where you want them to dial it back a little bit. But for Hayward, it's maybe even more important for him to be able to go through the cold stretches and still have that confidence to know, hey, I can do this because I've had this whole summer, as he said, the reps are where you get the confidence. I've had this whole summer where I know if I just keep doing this thing, it's going to start to happen for me.
Yeah. Now he's back. Gordon Hayward's back, guys.
We've been hoping for the Gordon Hayward is back for a long time. So he said in this that he's been able to – there's no restrictions where he doesn't have to, like, just work for 10 minutes and – stop and only do a certain amount of reps or doesn't have to worry about anything. So he's been at the practice facility. He's been practicing. He's seen the young guys. So this is a big, important development for Gordon Hayward. Remember, a year ago, he was having that second surgery. He didn't start playing 5-on-5 until the end of September last year. So this year, he's had the full summer of the 5-on-5 and the double teams and whatever. So we're going to come back. Gordon Hayward said a lot more about the work, like I said, working out with the young guys, his upcoming free agency, and all of that. We're going to talk about that when we come back on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Gordon Hayward obviously spending a lot of time at the Celtics practice facility, and he has said that he's been impressed by seeing a lot of these young guys, these rookies, at the facility for a big portion of the summer. And he said, quote, I'm impressed that they've been there throughout the summer, the middle of August, and they're all there working and getting out there, so it's very impressive. So I think that's important for, obviously, the rookies, and important for them to show a veteran that, hey, we're in here, we're doing our work. And obviously those guys have been around. Like I said, Taco Fall is going to be doing an event in a couple of days. Grant and Carson have been at Canopy Lake, and they've thrown out a first pitch, so they're all around town. But it's super important to earn a veteran's trust as soon as you can. And it sounds to me like when Gordon Hayward's in there doing his thing and he sees these guys, that's important, because if those guys are going to do anything for the Celtics this year, earning that trust from a guy that's been there for a couple years and is obviously close to the coach, I think that's at least that's important. I don't know if it's the biggest thing, but it's important.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the reputation the Celtics rookies have. Carson Edwards, there's already talk about him having a Semi Ojeleye-type work regimen, and that's like as high praise as it gets in the Celtics organization.
Wow.
Grant Williams, always a guy known for his work ethic, for being a solid dude. Tremont Waters, just reliable guys that the Celtics drafted. And so I don't think what Hayward said was about the rookies was any surprise, but I think it goes to show what type of kind of people the Celtics drafted, and who knows whether they'll be able to play at the NBA level. I think all of them looked good in summer league. It was an optimistic showing for all those guys in summer league, except for Romeo Langford. Obviously he was injured and couldn't play. But I think mentally and as far as being professional, the Celtics definitely hit on that aspect of the draft.
Yeah, they really did. We talk about like the attitudes of these guys, and they're a bunch of goofballs, and they'll say as much, but that work ethic, that all of that is, like you said, who knows how it's going to work out. I mean, history is littered with the broken careers of guys who have looked great in summer league and terrible in the NBA. We don't know. And have to impress upon everybody that it's really difficult to have all four guys that you've drafted or all of these young guys to come in and actually make a contribution. How many drafts you have Langford, Edwards, Grant, Tremont Waters, and then you throw Taco Fall into the mix, which I don't think that's fair, but to have four guys in a draft pan out is extraordinary. Like that almost never happens. I can't think of a time where four guys from a single draft have been contributors, become contributors on a team.
Yeah, and we'll see if they do.
Like, we will see.
There's a good chance that they don't, and that not all four guys the Celtics drafted will become NBA contributors. But there's obvious opportunity for at least two of the rookies to step in and play minutes. When you look at the rotation, Terry Rozier leaving, Marcus Morris leaving, Al Horford leaving, like there's opportunity on the roster. And I think especially the Rozier minutes and the Morris minutes will be up for grabs for those rookies. And Carson Edwards could get some of Rozier's minutes. Langford could get some of Rozier's minutes. Grant Williams and Semi Ojeleye could be competing for some of Morris's minutes. So I think the Celtics kind of need a couple of those guys to hit right away. Mm-hmm. When you look at the roster, it's not nearly as deep as it was last year. I don't know if that's by design. The Celtics were like, yeah, we had too many dudes last year.
Right.
Let's just cut down on dudes, bring in some rookies, some low usage rookies, and Carson Edwards who can just fill it up and see if guys can fill a role. So we'll see. I do think the Celtics, their bench will sway on whether they can get a couple of those rookies to come in and contribute right away.
Yeah.
And then what they get from whoever's a backup big man, whether it's Tice, Poirier, Robert Williams, whoever.
Yeah, I mean, Poirier, I should plug your piece. You did a piece on The Athletic taking an in-depth look on Poirier. I mean, he's really the wild card in all of this. I mean, he could come in and be good enough to start or play major minutes, and if that works out, that kind of changes a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about. Since we're on this little tangent, why don't you talk a little bit about what you've seen from all of your analysis, kind of plug what you did on The Athletic.
Yeah, thanks, first of all, for plugging that. I appreciate you, bro.
I'm always here, man. Here for the good of the team.
But so I went back and watched all of Poirier's possessions from last year in the EuroLeague, and he can really run and jump for a big man. Like his transition clips are just electric. He just beats dudes down the floor, and it's kind of like Tyler Zeller-ish, where Brad Stevens to this day might still be talking about how good Tyler Zeller was as a rim runner. And it, obviously it's not the most important skill in the world, but it does put pressure on the defense, and Poirier is a guy like that. And then in the half court, like, he's a lob-catching threat, and he's a bit different from some of the Celtics of the last few years, I guess, because he's a legitimate seven-footer who can jump, and he gets high above the rim, and he tries to dunk everything. So he'll be more of like a natural alley-oop catcher in the pick and roll. I don't think he'll be doing much pick and pop. He didn't shoot a lot in the EuroLeague, although he did kind of have decent form when he did it. So maybe there's some upside there. I think to me, the questions for him are how he'll hold up defensively. I don't know how he'll do defensively. He didn't block a lot of shots, which is fine. Like, you can still impact shots, but he didn't always stay in front of guys, and he got beat too much. I think some of it was the scheme that they used on his team in the EuroLeague, and the Celtics will probably use him differently, try to use him more like Aaron Baines, where he's dropping in the paint. But he definitely has some physical tools that are really impressive, and he'll give the Celtics, I think, a different dimension, just kind of flying through the rim. And when I think about the Celtics team, like, that's one way they could really change. Obviously, Al Horford was a pick-and-pop guy, and they ran a lot of offense through him on the perimeter. Now they got Kemba Walker, who one of the best pick-and-roll artists in the league, and maybe you just run more pick-and-rolls, have Tice going down the middle for lobs, and Poirier down the middle for lobs, and Robert Williams down the middle for lobs, and Enes Kanter, who doesn't have maybe the vertical mobility of those guys, but is really good in the seams and can hurt a team that way. So it could be a different look from the Celtics offense this season. And after last year's offense kind of disappointed, I'm not sure that's a bad thing.
So we'll have to see what Poirier brings at the NBA level. So that's a great look at what he potentially could bring. I really do think that obviously nobody's talking about him in depth, and he's one of the new guys that could be a complete game changer for this team if he can kind of match what he did over in Europe. And it really will shake up what we think this team could be. I'm curious how the starting lineup is going to shake out, because there are a lot of iterations. There are a lot of ways Brad Stevens can go. We'll see how Poirier impacts that. We'll come back after the break. We'll talk about a little bit more from Gordon Hayward. He was asked about his potential impending free agency. We'll talk a little bit about that. First, football season is back. There are a couple of Locked On podcasts that you should be checking out. Locked On Fantasy Football with host Vinny Iyer. He's got over 20 years covering fantasy football, so he'll give you an edge that you will not get anywhere else. So check out Locked On Fantasy Football. Also, the new Locked On NFL is back. It's one of the most listened to NFL shows around. And former NFL scout Matt Williamson, host Brian Peacock. So Locked On Fantasy Football, Locked On NFL. Check them both out on your favorite podcast provider. We're coming right back with more of the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, part of the Locked On Podcast Network,
So one of the storylines that may kind of crop up during the season, it's probably not much of an issue at the moment, but Gordon Hayward at the end of this season, next summer, can potentially, he can opt out of a $34 million player option. That, hard to say exactly what he'll do. We didn't think that Al Horford would opt out and leave, but he did. Gordon Hayward is in a little bit of a different position, but he has a kind of prove it year ahead of him, and he is 29. He's going to turn 30. So he has an opportunity to get another big contract. If he has a big year, he has a chance to opt out of $34 million and maybe get into a longer-term deal that can kind of take him towards the end of his career. Jay, do you think that this could crop up as an issue or a problem or anything for Gordon Hayward this season?
This season, no. I do think from the Celtics' perspective, it's a tricky one because if he opts in, it probably means, or it could mean, that he hasn't lived up to expectations and hasn't proven himself fully healthy. And if he opts out, it could mean that he's back, but that would also mean that he'd have a lot of other suitors in the open market. There's not as much cap space next year, but the crop of free agents, potential free agents, is pretty weak. And so Hayward would be near the top of that if he does opt out. And he's healthy and proves himself. Yeah.
And so now the Celtics, I think, just trying to look at last season, and we've talked a little bit about this potential, but you look at last season and you got to make a move potentially if things are kind of iffy. If the season's rolling along, you're kind of not sure. Or if there really is a logjam at the wing position that presents itself. We talked about them trading Jaylen Brown because he's coming up for an extension or a restricted free agency. But what about the potential of them trading Gordon Hayward? I mean, there's a guy right here. If he's proven himself to be back and there's a question about paying him longer term for the back end of his career, if you're trying to make a decision between Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown, wouldn't you rather pay Jaylen Brown for the promise of the future versus Gordon Hayward and the potential, who knows what the next few years are going to be?
That depends on a whole lot of factors, I guess. I don't even know how to answer that. Obviously, like, Gordon Hayward has reached a level in his career so far. It was in Utah, but still, that Jaylen Brown hasn't approached yet. So, I don't know. The Celtics could have to make some decisions, though, financially with Jaylen and Hayward if he opts out. There are a lot of factors, and they have still kind of like two different timelines with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, the younger guys, Kemba Walker and Gordon Hayward, who are still should be in their primes, but kind of on the latter stages of their primes. So it's an interesting roster construction, and unless like Jason Tatum takes a leap or Jaylen Brown takes a leap, I don't know how they contend for a title with this current iteration. But that's an issue for another day.
Sure,
an issue for a front office that has some work to do after its biggest plans fell apart.
It's hard to have a discussion like this on August 20th. I only bring it up because he was asked, and he didn't give a particularly interesting answer.
Gordon Hayward didn't give a particularly interesting answer.
I know, right? I mean, I'd take it one day at a time, enjoying being in the moment, blah, 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 blah. But just kind of trying to keep this conversation active for nothing else, for the listener, for you to say, all right, keep this in the back of your mind that – so many things can happen during the course of the season. Like, it's impossible to know how this can go. But one possibility is that with the NBA wide open, like, it's there are obvious contenders, mostly out west. Milwaukee, obviously, in the east. But if things break the right way, if certain things go well, if one of these rookies hits, if Poirier becomes better than we expect, whatever, there's possibility that the Celtics can be in a better position to kind of go for it right now while also not compromising their future. And we've already talked about the potential for Jaylen Brown being traded. I think that Gordon Hayward being traded is something that exists. It's a possibility that exists. And I don't know what. I mean, could it be part of a Bradley Beal trade? I don't know. That like that seems like an obvious type of place, or maybe it's something else. But it's a potential thing that is going to impact the Celtics this coming year, that Gordon Hayward's future will be kind of a sort of storyline that just floats along throughout the course of this year. And I wouldn't be surprised, Jay, if that returns as a topic or as a rumor somewhere down the line.
Oh, you're all in. You're ready. You're ready.
I'm just trying to, you know, I'm looking at
You're just getting prepared. You're
I'm
just
looking
getting
at
prepared.
All possibilities. They could re-sign him. He could opt in. They could trade him. You never know. Like we spent an entire season last year, Jay, talking about an Anthony Davis trade, and that just so now there's we got to look at the future, right? Like, what's Jaylen Brown's future? What's Marcus Smart's future? Who knows? What's Gordon Hayward's future? Jason Tatum's. I think just because Hayward talked today, hey, who knows? It's a possibility.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and I don't think this team is the final product. Like, I still think the Celtics will do some wheeling and dealing. Obviously, they still have the Grizzlies pick coming.
Yep.
At some point over the next couple of years, which could yield either a top prospect or be traded for a really good player. And so that's another piece that could help define, I guess, what their future looks like. If they get really lucky in the lottery with that, then maybe they pivot and turn toward like Tatum, Brown, and whoever the top pick is that year. Or maybe they decide to trade that pick with another piece or two and try to go after an established player and open up another run. So that's that piece of it. Like, this isn't a finished product, this team. And I don't think it has been at any point really since Kevin Garnett was in Boston.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we've kind of settled into feeling comfortable with this team. I think that might be a mistake. That at some point, it may take until the trade deadline, but I definitely expect another move to happen at some point. We'll see what happens. In the meantime, we'll wrap this up and hope that you have enjoyed this discussion enough. If you're a new listener, to subscribe. If you're a regular listener, to give us that 5-star rating and a good written review. We'll be back. Other guys are going to be out making appearances. We'll be talking about that throughout the course of the week. So please give us that subscription, that review, that 5-star rating, and share the podcast. Spread the word. Tell everybody, listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Rainy day.